What is up, crew? TGIBF. Thank God it's Black Friday. I see quite a few of you guys out there, so apparently you're not out doing the shopping thing and participating in all the craziness. And that's fine because I'm not either. Just not quite my scene. And we had quite a few folks that we're here early as usual. We are broadcasting live on the YouTube side of things, but we're also over there on Gun Channels. And if you're not familiar with gunchannels.com, there is a link, bam, for the YouTube side. Go check it out. Free to join, and a lot of things going on over there from the 24/7 lobby chat. You can jump in at any time and talk on that, to all the different shows, and it's just one big great community over there. Speaking of that Gun Channel side, we've got Gary playing around over there, and Pants, I-45, and Scott and Clayton all over there hanging out. And then the YouTube side as well is always bumping. There's LB and Sean and George and the great Travis and Zero Data, D-Temp, and Roosted, and RL, and 04 Hemi. Mr. 1% Rich White is in the house with us, it looks like. And Chevelle was here early. That's a little bit unusual, but, yeah, that's okay. And before we get too deep into things, want to give a – there's Nate. He finally made it in. Want to give a shout-out to one of my newest patrons. Got a new marksman over there with the Clover Tech crew, and that's Two Live Moo. So I don't see him in yet. He may be working or something like that. Who knows? But it's okay. Tonight we're going to talk about pretty much whatever you guys throw out there in the chat within reason. And then the topic on deck that we put off for a week now, so we're going to get that knocked out of the park tonight, I think, is holsters. So we're going to talk about all things holsters, from composition to position to, concealed, whether it's inside the waistband, outside the waistband, ankle holsters, shoulder holsters, you name it, everything holsters tonight. So, let's get started. We've got a pretty good crew on the panel, it looks like, tonight. And we've got a couple that might be jumping in later. I know Budget Guns and Gear said he may be running a little late. So let's get started, run through the room here. Mr. Cycle Kemp is with us. What is happening, Cycle?
Hi, guys. I successfully avoided the malls today and went to the range, and I shot my 3 Tulsa guns and had a great time. So check out the video on Gun Channel's YouTube or VidMe.
Awesome. Very awesome indeed. Where's my screen here? There we go. And we got Fine Ape jumping in with us. What's up, Fine Ape?
Hi, thanks for the invite.
You bet, bud. Anytime. And Ghost. What's happening, Ghost? Long time no talk to, right?
A long time no talk, about an hour. So, thanks for the invite. Appreciate you.
And filling out the roster for now anyway. Jelzma, what's happening, buddy?
Staying alive and not sick.
There you go. That's hard to do with some of the weather around here lately, for sure. I've had some snipplies all day, I think, because the way the weather is here in Texas the last few days. So we've got LB out there. What's he saying? Cyber Monday, click, click, credit card number, your winter day. Winter holiday gift exchange is done. Yeah, and that brings me to something. What is up, Big Racer? I see you out there. Something that I want to mention right here off the top of the show real quick, and that is Small Business Saturday tomorrow. Be sure to check out some of your local gun shops, and not even necessarily local gun shops, but, you know, local businesses that are maybe doing something for Small Business Saturday. I know that there's a couple of gun shops here in my area that do some pretty cool things on that day. I'll be out at one of them. May even be able to get some footage of some different things there, their operation maybe, and some different guns to show you guys, make a little video maybe, something like that. Give them a little bit of promotion, even though that, you know, I don't know how many people locally will see that, but it could be kind of cool. Maybe give some other businesses some ideas of what to do. And then like LB was saying out there, definitely check out Cyber Monday and the deals for that, because, you know, Black Friday seems to overshadow Cyber Monday for some reason. But I've picked up more good deals, I think, on Cyber Monday than I have on Black Friday in the past. So something about getting it online, having it shipped to your door, and you're done. That seems like that's just the way to go. So, yeah, let's jump into holsters here a little bit. And what I'd like to do is just start out and kind of run through the room. I see Budget Guns is with us. What's up, buddy?
Not much. How's it going?
Just now getting started. So you hadn't missed much.
Okay, good.
Had a little bit of technical difficulty. So we started out a little bit late tonight, but that's okay. So yeah, starting on holsters, you know, I guess let's run through the room and maybe talk about our favorite holster that we own. If you've got a favorite holster that you use, it doesn't necessarily have to even be an everyday carry. Let's throw that out there, and you know, who makes it and what it's made out of and that sort of thing. I guess we'll start with Cycle. What do you use, a holster, Cycle?
Yep, I pocket carry most of the time, and for both my 380 and my Car CM9, I use a DeSantis Nemesis holster in the pocket. When I'm carrying outside the waistband, I use a pancake holster, and I really like that a lot.
Now, what's the DeSantis what are those made out of?
Oh, God, I don't know. It's some black fibrous material that's kind of sticky, so that when you pull the gun, the holster stays in your pocket.
Okay, so it's one of those sticky holsters, sticky style.
Yeah,
holsters.
And DeSantis also makes a great in the waistband holster that has, it's called the Tuckable, and it actually has a thing where you can tuck your shirt down around it, which is kind of nice.
Oh, interesting.
And those are made out of leather. Those I've used those in the past before when I had when I carry like a PT 709 Slim, I'll do that in the waistband about 4 o'clock, and you can tuck your holster, your shirt right down past it, so you don't even have to wear a cover garment. It's great.
Right. Cool. And Ghost out there, he's done his homework apparently, because he's, good Lord. How many holsters do you plan on showing and telling? Or no, that's Pine 8 doing that. Wow. No,
that's not me, but I've got drawers full of holsters. I mean, drawers full of them, which is fine. I you know, you go through different stages and all that. I would say for the most part, my normal EDC is an MP Shield 9, and I go through three different holsters with that, depending on what I want to do. I've got, it sounds crazy, but I've got a little Uncle Mike's neoprene that, mm-hmm. if I'm, I'm just going to throw it in and not having to worry about a whole lot. I'll just throw that in there every now and then. It's kind of comfortable, not bulky at all. And then I've got a DeSantis Kydex inside the waist that I use for that. And then my favorite for that is during the wintertime when I'm wearing fleece and stuff is for that and my Glock 19. My favorite outside the waist holsters are some Phobos stuff. I love Phobos. I've got a Marine Corps outside the waist for my Glock from Outlaw Holsters. It's a Marine Corps theme. I got it from there down in Florida, I think. But my favorite ones outside the waist are definitely Phobos. For some reason, the paddle fits just perfect, and they're lightweight and all that. But I do tend to have a tendency of liking Kydex pretty well.
Now, do you and Cycle said he had one with a paddle as well, so I want to get his take on this. Do either of you guys find that the paddle holster sticks out too far? It's too bulky?
Yeah, that's why I usually don't go outside the waist, though, unless it's wintertime and I'm wearing a big old fleece or a jacket or something. I would not wear that normally with, a T-shirt or whatever. It had to be something that's kind of bulky. But, yeah, it does stick out. But that's why I usually don't carry outside the waist, except for, like, wintertime and stuff.
Right. And what about your Cycle? Is it?
Mine's a Nate squared, okay. And it doesn't stick out too far, but when I'm wearing an external holster like that, it's because I'm open carrying.
Right.
So I want people to see it. So it doesn't bother me if it sticks out a little bit.
Yeah. Right. On the second, I'll carry my Glock 19 on the second because I will open carry and I'll use the Marine Corps holster for that specific reason. I want people to see it. And the Marine Corps holster, if nothing else, is kind of a conversational starter. People mention my holster, and that gives me an opportunity to talk about why I'm open carrying as well. So, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I know with the paddle holsters, and talking to Phobos as well, I've got one that I used to carry my Ruger LCP in a Phobos paddle holster. And probably because of the small frame of that pistol and everything, I mean, I didn't have a problem with it, being too bulky or anything like that. It seemed to snug up pretty good, but I could imagine that some brands of paddle holsters, and then when you're dealing with larger framed pistols, could get a little bulky for something like a concealed carry. What about you, Jelsma?
I use a Sabisi, like super cheap, crappy nylon that fits my Nano extremely well. And I wear that inside my belt, but outside my waistband because of sweatiness and the nice humidity here.
Right.
But really my favorite is my Serpa holster. 1911 or my Beretta 92 or even like my Model 60s, 19s, L-frames, anything like that.
Right. And what about you, Budget?
Well, as far as my favorite holster goes, it's probably a leather pancake holster I made for my Glock. But what I use the most would be an Uncle Mike's size 4 pocket holster for my usually I pocket carry that just about everywhere.
Okay. Awesome. Now, D-Temp out there, he's saying he uses a Watchdog tactical inside waistband for his Nano. So. Yeah. And Fine Ape, he had a show and tell buffet look like out there. So let me get locked on his screen. What do you got out there, Fine Ape?
All right. Well, the one I use the most is actually for my little bodyguard here. It's a Safari Land. It's one of these wallet holsters. It's got two layers of leather kind of stitched together in a wallet shape. And then this thin kind of suede exterior Kydex. I mean, the thing, it'll just slips in there real nice. It used to look a lot more like a wallet. The only downside is that it will really bend over if it gets a chance. Otherwise, if I can carry something bigger, it's not this holster, but it's the same basic design. This is a Simply Rugged, just a pancake holster. No all leather on that. And Cycle had mentioned the DeSantis Nemesis. When I started carrying, I started using them. And it's more or less just kind of a rubberized exterior with a nylon interior. But if you're wanting to spend like $5 or $6 extra dollars, they make these that are called a Superfly. And basically they've got these little rubber knobbies on the exterior of it, and you'll actually, you'll pull your pants pocket inside out before this holster will let go. So,
nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Awesome. For me, I think probably my favorite one is the alien gear that I've got for it's outside the waistband. They had to custom make it. Was for my Taurus Protector Poly. They had them for the 85 series Taurus, but they did not have any of those, at least at the time. And I contacted them, and they were like, "Oh yeah, we can custom make that." I said, "Well, get on it." Just the fit and the feel. I mean, it's like I said, it's outside the waistband, but you can actually carry concealed. I mean, it pulls up so tight against your body. Of course, I'm wearing it at about the, 3 o'clock, maybe 3 to 4 o'clock position. And it fits really, really well. So, scroll out here through the chat and see if we've got anybody out there that is throwing theirs out. I know D-Temp, talking about his earlier, Nodak says, Tolster holster. For his 43, G-code for his 19, and a Harry's holster for his 2.0 compact. So, Two Hottie says, Flister Skeleton is the one that he likes. So, yeah. What else we got here? It jumped. Chevelle says he's got some alien gear. Or the DeSantis. So, yeah, those seem to be pretty popular, I would think.
R.L. Sherp has a Serpa for an out-of-the-waistband Beretta.
Oh, okay. Yeah, somebody was asking, was that Roosted out there that was asking for, looked like he was asking for a recommendation on a holster to carry a Kydex. To carry his 92 FS.
Yeah, I haven't tried Kydex yet, but it looks like a good idea. Well, I'll take that back. My 8² is I don't know if it's Kydex, but it's plastic. So, and I kind of like that because one of the problems I had with the DeSantis is because it was a leather holster, it was great to carry and great to get the gun out, but it was a bitch putting a gun back in.
Right. Yeah, and I've had a couple of holsters that's that way. As far as reholstering is a little bit tricky, but that's a pain when you're dealing with a holster that it's hard to reholster. That's kind of a pain for your practicing and your training. When you know if you're ever into a situation to where you have to pull it, I mean, it's not like you're really going to have to be in a big hurry usually to put it up again. So. It's not a big deal under that situation.
Yeah, the draw for me is much more important.
Yeah, for out there, for when you're out there and you're training, though, and it's hard to reholster, it does get frustrating.
Well,
I've been in that situation before.
It can be a problem when you're traveling because I don't like keeping like a 4 o'clock holster. I don't like carrying that in a car like that. So I'll take the weapon out and put it in the seat beside me. And then when I get out of the car, I need to put that gun back away. And I don't like fiddly screwing around with the gun, you know, while I'm out there where people can see me.
Well, that's true, too. Yeah. That is true, too.
I kind of solved that issue with the holsters I make because I saturate the whole thing with wax and it stiffens it right up. Worn in and broke in, it conforms to your body like a good leather holster will. But it still retains enough stiffness around the mouth where you can holster and reholster easily. And
right. And that's go ahead.
The cycle, you're using the DeSantis Super Tuck, right?
Yeah, when I go in the waistband, I use the DeSantis Super Tux. Yep.
Have you ever tried? They make these leather hybrid or leather kydex hybrids called the Intruders. It's basically just a inside the waistband, big chunk of leather, and then half of the what your gun goes into is actual kydex, so it'll won't collapse like just a regular inside the waistband leather holster would.
Yeah, that looks pretty neat.
Yeah, it seems like it's a good idea.
Definitely. Now, a question I have has to deal it because I'm not up to speed on kydex too much. So I'll turn this loose to somebody else here or even somebody out in the chat if they know kydex a little better than I, because Cycle alluded to it a little bit earlier. Something like the alien gear that I'm talking about, the outside shell part or whatever, you know, that is kydex, I'm assuming. And then something like let's say a Blackhawk or a Phobos or something like that. The paddle holsters have more of a plastic feel to them. They feel a little bit different. So what does anybody know the technical definition of basically what kydex is?
Yeah, kydex is nylon with specific glass reinforcement.
Okay. And the purpose of that over plastic would be better flexibility, maybe?
It's a durability, I think, because like I think Glocks are made out of like Zytel. Zytel is just a really high compression nylon.
Yeah, that would make sense. So yeah, Lynchpin says PCB acrylic, or PVC. He says.
Okay. Yeah, I'm much more of a kydex. I really am not a huge fan of leather holsters myself, just because I like the rigidness of kydex or the plastic Phobos or whatever. Because I know that no matter what, over time, you know, it's going to react and it's going to perform the same, where I can see where the leather would probably be more comfortable and it would form maybe to the gun over time. But it's also got potential of, you know, if you don't maintain it and, you know, keep up with oiling it and all of that, I'm assuming just like any other oily, leather product, it could, you know. It's more high maintenance, I guess, than kydex or plastic to me. So I kind of like the kydex side, where I know exactly how it's going to perform and all that. So that's just me, though.
Yeah, but kydex is a bitch against the skin, and that's why the hybrid ones, I think, are the ones that really win. You know, like the one we were looking at earlier, where you have the leather inside against your skin, but you've got kydex shell to hold the
action. Yeah, I like that idea. That's a pretty good one. I like that, yeah.
Now, when you guys carry, and I guess it would be, you know, inside waistband when you're concealed carrying, is your holster against skin, or do you guys wear any type of an undershirt? Because I wear an undershirt.
I'll always wear a t-shirt. Depends or something.
Yeah. Depends on how hot it is out.
I wear a t-shirt, but it rides up. You know,
as
the day goes on, it'll come right out from under the gun most of the time.
I'll also put it this way: is if it's too hot to wear like an undershirt or something, then I'll just grab my 380 and pocket carry or something, you know, and kind of eliminate that issue.
Well, even if it's hot, I mean, normally what I'll go with so that I'm not eliminating the undershirt. And when I say undershirt, I'm talking about usually like a wife beater, you know, or something like that. Not an actual t-shirt. So it's fairly thin anyway. And you know, tank top style design. And then I'll wear like a, what am I even thinking? The special fabric, what is that crap? The shirts, dry wick, like the dry wick.
Moisture wicking, like Under Armour stuff.
Like the moisture wicking, yeah, the really thin shirts. And I've got several of those. So, I mean, if it's very hot, then what I'll do is I'll wear that so that I'm not wearing as thick of a shirt. And then even a couple of my nicer shirts, my Columbias or something like that, or even, you know, thinner, to allow for that undershirt. And then you're still about the same thickness as a regular t-shirt or pullover polo or something like that.
I will tell you what, I haven't done it yet, but I probably will try it. A couple of buddies of mine that do this, which I think is actually pretty ingenious, is if they're inside the holster, like the part that actually would touch the body, they've actually either sewn or hot glued or something, like a couple layers of t-shirts, like cut it out in a design that fits it perfectly, like the shape. And actually either hot glued it or soda or however they need to do it, to where even if they can't wear a t-shirt, they've got that t-shirt material or cotton or, you know, something, fleece or something. I think they use fleece a lot, to where it's actually got the padding against the skin. It's not part of the holster, but they attach it to the inside of the holster. So that actually, they love that. So I'm actually thinking about trying to do that. You can go get some fleece for pretty cheap somewhere, you know, or a sweatshirt, an old sweatshirt, cut it up, hot glue it to the inside of the holster that would touch your skin, and there you go.
Right. Yeah, several of them out there.
That's why, like, with my nylon that I use with my Nano, I just tuck it in between my pants and my belt, and the tension with my belt is pretty much what holds everything in. And I mean, I wrestle around and stuff and do work with it, and I've never had an issue with that, and it really doesn't wear on me too bad.
That's why I actually will use my, it sounds, you know, it's a $10 holster, but I'll actually, most of the time during the summertime, I'll use my Uncle Mike's little nylon cheap old holster, because it doesn't feel bad against the skin at all.
Yeah. Well, there's several out there in the chat are saying they, they wear undershirts. So I've always been curious if that was a thing or not.
I think that's a thing with everybody. Absolutely. Yeah.
And that's the one downside to some of these hybrids. Like this one here, the leather part's kind of small. I've seen some where it's almost twice the size. And if you get this right up against your skin, it can kind of start to stick almost like an old vinyl seat would. So.
Yeah. Definitely. C-Zero out there says he's carried inside the waistband, tucked under a dress shirt. Amy says the most comfortable way for him is outside the waistband. Yeah, I mean, me too. And now that I can open carry, we don't have to worry about printing or any of that mess down here. A lot of times I wear, in fact, I did at the 2A rally. I don't know that anybody even knew I was carrying. I wasn't necessarily trying to hide it one way or the other, but it I was carrying that alien gear, and like I said, it pulls in tight to my body and all anyway, and wearing a fairly loose shirt, and most of the time I can get away with that, and it's just, like I said, it's comfortable. Now with pocket carry, I've never been a fan of pocket carry. And maybe it's the type of jeans I wear. Maybe it's my body shape. I don't know. But a heavy pocket knife is too much for me. You know, if I get the least little bit of change in my pocket, it just annoys the crap out of me. I don't know. There's something about weight and the way that that pull is with pocket carry. So if you do pocket carry, more power to you. I don't know how you can put up with it, but
when you're my size, Clover, you know, pocket carry is like cargo pants.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, especially with jeans or something, I don't know. It's just the weight, and any pistol, even with like that LCP or this 42, I mean, they don't weigh nothing, but you know, you put something like that in your pocket and, I don't know. But like I said, I'm that way. Like I said, even if it's a heavy knife or, you know, even a big pocket full of change, let's say something as heavy as a roll of quarters, it's just aggravating having that much weight pulling down in my pockets for some reason. But, it may just be getting used to it. Maybe part of it as well, because any time that we carry, I know that we're hyper aware that firearm is there. So maybe that plays into my pocket carry thing too, because of that weight. It just adds to that hyper awareness.
Question for the panel. Do you mind?
Absolutely not.
Because I've actually been trying to find a holster that I have not been able to find one, and there might not be one, but there's some good minds on this panel. So I'm looking for a holster that could be a, almost maybe even for like a 380 or something, but almost a full conceal. Like if you're going to somewhere where you have to wear slacks and a button down shirt and you can't wear really have a shirt untucked or a jacket or anything, is there, besides maybe going ankle holster or something, is there a legitimate holster out there that could slide down underneath that waistband enough to where it's, you know, concealed even though you can't really untuck your shirt? I haven't been able to find one yet.
You carrying a revolver or just a auto?
No, a similar. Like if I was going to do that, I'd probably carry my bodyguard 380. You know, something small like that to where it wouldn't, you know, but I haven't been able to find anything that would fit that, you know.
I would use a DeSantis tuckable for that. Or I would
be,
pocket carry.
That's kind of what I usually been doing is go on pocket carry, or, you know, I even thought about ankle holster, but I was really hoping to find something that I could wear, you know, where I normally would carry at the 4 o'clock position, you know.
Ankle holster sucks. It is so hard
to reach. They do suck. That's why I don't want to. That's why I don't want to use them. You know.
So you're what?
Go ahead.
What's up?
So
I was
going
to ask a question about.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to ask a question about to the panel, and this kind of segues into it. I've seen marketed those like compression shirts that have holsters built in under the armpit. I wonder if something like that might not serve.
I've actually got one of the 511s, and like a little 380, you're going to lose it in the pockets. You can actually fit a full size end frame revolver in it, and it's
if you're
someone who's naturally warm to begin with, just putting that on, you're just going to start sweating like crazy.
Yeah. And see, I even went last year and bought one of those Urban Carries. Actually, earlier in this year, I guess, this spring, I bought an Urban Carry one. And it's kind of one of those things that kind of really weird. It kind of goes to appendix, but it's really, really strange. Well, the problem with that is the draw is, it's like four steps to get it out of there. And like I said, I didn't particularly like it. But that's the only thing I've got right now besides maybe going pocket carry. I really don't want to go ankle carry, but I didn't know if y'all knew of anything out there that I just have missed.
Have you looked at like a Sneaky Pete holster, one of those PDA-looking things that you just put on the outside of your pants or right on your belt?
Yeah, they go, but it kind of looks like a cell phone thing, is what you're talking about, like from the outside. Yeah, I've looked at that, but I haven't tried it yet. Is that worth trying, you think?
I honestly haven't tried it. I've been just pocket carrying my little 380.
Yeah. Because there are times I have to go to dinners and social events that I have to kind of dress up a little bit, and I hate not carrying, but my only option right now is a pocket carry pretty much, and I really don't want to go ankle holster, but you know, that's why I kind of will go down to that 380 so I can at least pocket carry or something, but I hate pocket carrying if I don't have to.
I'll tell you, that's why I went with the car CM9. I can actually pocket carry that.
Yeah.
It gives me a little bit more higher performance round and still not an issue. And I use another DeSantis holster to pocket carry that as well. The only thing I will say is I used to use the magazines with the little pinky extension, and I had to stop doing that because that made it just a little too big for the pocket.
Okay.
Well, I've carried ankle on an ankle holster off and on for quite a few years. And it's added steps. It is a pain in the rear. I mean, it can be managed. You definitely want to train, you know, with situations with it and stuff like that. But, you know, it comes down to a point, depending on how you dress, depending on what holsters are available, what firearm you're carrying, you know, that there's situations that arise that sometimes you just do the best you can.
And that's kind of where I'm at, is doing the best I can. And
that's the terms I can't, the, that's Yeah, that's the terms I came to when it applies to an ankle holster. I thought, well, okay, yeah, it's some added steps, but at least I have it. It's there. You know, I can get to it. Yeah, it's slower, but at least I can get to it. So, you know, that's when you start training to find cover and, you know, things like that first, you know.
You're kind of like I am. You don't like to pocket carry if you don't have to, you know. And like I said, I'd rather not ankle carry, but I might have to pocket carry or ankle carry, you know.
I have yet to become comfortable pocket carrying, period. Yeah. No matter what it is. And I've tried several of the holsters. I can't name any off the top of my head, but I've tried several. I know for a fact that a couple of them were DeSantis, but regardless of what I did, I just can't stand it. That weight pulling on that pocket just annoys me to no end.
Right.
So quick question for you, Clover.
Yeah.
Do you carry your wallet in your back pocket or front pocket?
Back pocket.
Okay. Have you tried just putting your wallet in one of your front pockets just because it's going to be lighter and it'll help get you used to having, you know, something in your pocket there?
Well, my wallet is a pool wallet. It's not one of the little bitty.
Like a trifold?
It's not a trifold. Yeah. I've always for years carried one of those big full, you know, checkbook style, whatever.
Oh, wallet. Okay.
The long ones. I got you.
Yeah, I had a George Costanza wallet, and I actually had back pain from carrying it in my rear pocket. So I started carrying it in my front pocket, and that's probably why I don't mind having the gun in the other pocket, because it's about the same size.
Yeah. If that would have been an issue, but like I said, this here would be, heck, that'd be worse than carrying a gun. It's so big. So.
People in the side chat mentioned if you're really dressed in the nines and you're wearing a jacket, maybe you want to consider a shoulder holster.
I've got a shoulder holster that I have used before if I'm wearing a jacket, but there are a lot of times where it's slacks and, you know, a dress shirt or a polo golf shirt or something like that to wear. Now, if I wear a jacket, then I've done that. I've actually I've got a shoulder holster, but I don't like wearing it. I have a vertical shoulder holster because I don't like having the horizontal where you flag.
Right.
But I do have a vertical one and it works. I just don't like using it. It's just, it feels so weird to me having all of that crap going on my shoulders and all that. So it's what I've got one, but a lot of times when I go out, and especially in the summertime, I'll have to wear slacks and a, you know, button down shirt or something. I was just kind of, like I said, I don't mind. If I had the pocket carry, I would. If I had to go ankle holster, I would. But I was just hoping that maybe knew something out there.
I tell you, for that, I would go with a tuckable in the waistband.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And wear a flat, you know, single stack like a, you know, PT-709 Slim or a PT-111 or, you know,
If I did that, I'd carry my bodyguard 380 and that probably wouldn't be a problem at all.
Sparky out there, he says he likes his Galco shoulder holster for business dress.
I did get a text from Hottie and he said, check out the, I don't know if he missed a letter in there, but he spelled it PHLSTER skeleton. Anyone heard of that?
Yeah, that's the one he was mentioning in the chat.
Yeah, I'm on my phone, so I wasn't on the chat. Is that Felster? Yeah. Or is that, do you miss a letter?
I think there's an I miss in there.
Felster? Okay, so it's a skeleton, so I might look at that one also.
Yeah. Hey, Ghost, this is my recommendation for you. I'm going to flip this camera on.
Go for it.
If it doesn't want to make a whole bunch of noise. But that's a model 60 in a size 1 Blackhawk tuckable.
Yeah.
This is my 380, and this is what I do. I'm sorry, I'm trying, like, because I'm on using a shelf here. But in the way it fits, when it's in the waistband, I mean, you're only, like, right there with it. So it, and that's, I'm not going to say that I wear that at work because I'm not supposed to carry a firearm. Right. But if I was going to wear something at work, that's what I wear.
I got you.
And I mean, I'm... I deal with some multi-million dollar corporations on a daily basis. Yeah. So, but I, I'm that's, I pretty
what
much
is that? Carry. It's a size one, but what brand is it?
Blackhawk CQC. Blackhawk? Yeah. Okay. Okay. They're really nice suede tuckable.
Nice. And like I said, I don't mind trying several ones that hopefully one of them works, you know, because I've already got two or three drawers full of holsters. What's another couple of drawers, you know? As long as I find the right one, I'll try them all out.
Tuati says he carries his LCP in his right pocket and his phone in his left, and they cancel each other out.
Yeah, that's probably true.
The issue I've got is it feels like it's pulling my pants off.
Get better belt.
So maybe even with the belt. Time. Even with the belt, that's what I'm thinking. Maybe I need to move to wearing suspenders. And I mean,
ooh, the tactical leprechaun in suspenders. You got to do it, man. You got to do it.
Well, like Urkel.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wear t-shirts most of the time. Suspenders will just look wrong.
I just never understand the people that, like, I'm going to go back to the undershirt thing. Like, it is so humid here that wearing two shirts, somebody my size, I'm not a little guy, you know, I'm 6 foot, like 260. And I sweat pretty good in the summer. So two shirts is not an option.
Well, that's why I do, like I said, I'll do a dry wicking shirt on top of the on top of the other one. And because that other one, yeah, I mean, it's going to kind of sort of get wet, but I mean, you got to realize, I mean, if you're outdoors and if it's hot, then, you know, sweat is not altogether a bad thing. And sure. Then having a dry wicking shirt, I mean, it's going to dry quickly. So you're not going to get the pit stains and all the other nasty, just, you know, from that. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's just become commonplace for me for some reason. I like my undershirts, but yeah. Rich out there says that if I had the suspenders with the t-shirt, I would look like Mork. So
yes, he would.
He had like rainbow colored suspenders though, didn't he?
He did.
Yep,
he did. But that's what made it so funny is it was Robin Williams, and he, you know.
Now what about red green?
Funny.
Oh, there you go.
Nice.
Now, does Clover wear a plaid shirt and khakis?
Oh, I don't wear no plaid. I don't wear khakis.
He's about to, because he's got to wear suspenders now.
That's right.
Yeah, I know.
He's going to have to talk to Bob about how to wear those.
And the next step after suspenders is the bow tie. So just saying.
No, I'm not changing the way I dress. No. No. I'll ankle carry or, you know, whatever. I'll figure something out. Luckily, I live in Texas. I don't have to make that hard decision. You know, I can just open carry pretty much. So,
yeah, that helps.
Yeah.
Yeah, with my job, I really can't. I have to keep it concealed at my job. And like I said, I wear slacks and golf shirts pretty much every day, you know, so it's
right.
In the wintertime, I can throw a sweatshirt or fleece on, I'm good. But during the week, you know, during the summertime, it's interesting.
A double T says either pocket carry a 380 in a wallet holster or a G19 in a Galco King Tuck inside waistband crossbreed. You know, the 380, I considered getting one of the little holsters for the LCP, one of the little wallet holsters.
Yep.
The thing is, and we talked about this, I don't remember when we talked about this, but I know that we did talk about it. I think that might have been on, I don't remember. Anyway, about the width on the grip and on that LCP, I had the grip sleeves on it. So, and those holsters are designed for just a bone stock LCP. So,
yeah.
When you're talking about that, then I mean, I don't know. I didn't like the way the feel and all of that when you draw and comfort and competence are two things that you don't want to give up when you're carrying, for sure.
No, not at all. Not at all.
You know, and I just did not, the times I played with that wallet holster, I was not as confident pulling and shooting from that wallet holster. So,
I just think it's funny that, you know, we all worry about, you know, deep concealment, but because of being on gun channels, I now carry a second magazine. And where do I carry it? Well, I carry it on a, in a knife sheath on my belt. So I've got the big ass Leatherman on one side, and I've got my knife sheath with my 9mm magazine on the other. And people just don't seem to figure it out. It's pretty neat.
Well, most people, you know, that's the thing with it. Most people don't pay attention. And to the point that, you know, we haven't had open carry here in Texas for too many years now, but, there was all the normal hoopla, you know, when they were trying to convert that over to just a license to carry, not just a concealed license. And you know, then they passed it, and there's people, I mean, you have to actively look to see if somebody's carrying or not. And nobody just watches people's waistline. I mean,
there's thousands of videos on YouTube that are people talking about concealed carry for beginners, and everyone talks about printing this and printing that. And I think that does carrying an injustice, because you have someone who's new to carrying, and they all they hear from all these different videos is worry about printing. And it's like you said, you go to Walmart and you've got a t-shirt over a holster, even though you might be printing a little bit, no one's walking around going, oh my gosh, what is that sticking out of his t-shirt? You know, unless it's just bad, you know, they just need to get a different holster or something. But I mean, you know, the whole printing thing, I think, is way, way, you know, I think people make too much of it than, you know, like you said, most people aren't walking around going, oh, what's that sticking out on his waist? He must be carrying a gun. You know, they're not even looking at your waist.
For the most part, I mean, everybody is, you look eye level for the most part, you know, and if you're looking eye level walking around, I mean, you're not focused on somebody's waistline. So they could be open carrying, and, you know, I'm sure there's been times that I've walked by somebody or been behind somebody or whatever, and they've been open carrying, and I never even paid it any attention. You know, and part of that is a certain comfort level that I don't care. You know, I'm sure you've got some people that are so paranoid that they leave the house in the morning watching everybody like a hawk, you know, to see who's carrying or whatever. But the vast majority of people, they aren't looking,
and they're not going to pay attention unless you do something to bring attention to it, you know. And if you keep fidgeting and all that, you know, touching it and fidgeting with it brings much more attention than printing does, you know.
That's the number one thing to get over. Now, Sparky out there, he says, with all the phone holsters out there, he said most people are oblivious, and I think so. I think, you know, now.
Absolutely.
You see so many, I mean, for years, people have had their pocket knives. We've all seen that, you know, or their multi-tools and whatever they carry on their belt. And then, you know, for years now, cell phones. And cell phones are big, you know. They started to go smaller with cell phones, and for whatever reason now, I guess screen size, I suppose.
It's for taking selfies, man.
They've grown in size. You would think technology would want to make them smaller, but... So a lot of people walk around with these big, huge cases on their belt and stuff like that. So, I think what Sparky out there is, that's the point we're trying to make, is that people have become so accustomed to seeing things around the waistline that they don't even pay attention to it anymore.
No.
Well, mostly the people that are going to notice are people whose job it is to pay attention. You know, people like cops,
right?
Even crooks, bad guys. And even then, half the time, they're not going to catch it.
Let me ask you guys this. Do you guys, as everyday carriers, do you find yourself looking at people's waist to see who else is carrying, or no?
No, never.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, no, I'm pretty skeptic of everybody. I mean, but a lot of it has to do with my anti-terrorist training that I did in the military, though, too, and my job that I had. And I mean, I pretty much size everybody up as they're walking up to me. So it's kind of a, I don't know your surroundings type deal.
Yeah, I'm the same way, but I sit there, and if I see someone that I think is kind of shady looking, then I'll kind of scope them up and down and just kind of see if I see anything. But, you know, it's so funny because I hear people all the time, you know, people say, well, now that I carry, I'm always looking for other people that are carrying. And that doesn't make much sense to me unless I'm actually seeing someone that's suspicious to me, then I will, you know, scan. But I just think it's, you know, I hear people all the time, I want to see who else is carrying out there.
Yeah.
Why?
I work in corrections, so I pay attention to everybody.
What's that?
So I work in corrections, so I pay attention to everybody. It's just a habit I've gotten.
It's depending on your environment too, though, you know.
Yeah.
Well, when they first did the open carry here, I, for a while, did kind of scope out people. I actively looked at it because I was just curious since they had just passed it, you know, and that's common nature, of course, that I was curious how many people were open carried, you know, how many are taking advantage, how many are doing this. But that's been years ago and that's long gone. They've got to be doing something that's got my attention for some other reason. You know, if they're just minding their own business, walking down the road, that's fine. If they're dressed sketchy, if they're acting twitchy, like they're, you know, strung out on something, you know, that's different. I mean, you start paying a little more attention to them then. But I mean, there's something to be said for just blending into the crowd, you know, and.
Well, that's what I think most people's supposed purpose is to blend in.
Yeah, and I think
the whole point of concealed carry. Yeah,
most people go about their business. You know, they're not bothering anybody. They blend into the crowd, and that's the way it's supposed to be. You know, and that's kind of the point that we were making down here when we were pushing open carry. Is hey, you know, regular people that are going to go through the process, you know, to get the background check and go to the class and do all the stuff to be able to get this, you know, they're going to work, going to church. You know, going to the grocery store, going out to the movies, just regular stuff. They're just regular people. And so, yeah, they're going to blend in the crowd. Now, George out there says, if you carry in a fanny pack and you place it in front of you, then people will not look at your crotch area. So that's maybe, I guess. I don't.
If you wear a fanny pack in the front, I'm going to punch you in the throat.
I was just going to say, I'd rather not wear the fanny pack, you know.
You know who wears a fanny pack when he goes out? Do you know who wears one?
Night Strike, you do.
No, don't lie. I don't.
Oh, that's right. You don't go out, so.
No, I leave the house. Yankee wears the fanny pack when he goes out.
Yeah, he does sometimes.
Sometimes, like when he's skating and stuff, yeah.
Night Strike, challenge accepted. Fancy.
What did I do?
I was going to say, most of the people I know, I call them crotch packs. I don't even call them fanny packs anymore. Crotch pack.
Depends on how you're wearing it. You don't have to wear it where it's like that. You can spin it around when you go to, you know, get something out of it. But
now, was that a tactical fanny pack? Or
there you go.
This was a $5 in Cabela's quick sale bin bulldog fanny pack.
Nice.
Have Molly straps all over it.
You can get like a plate for it so you can protect that, you know, fanny pack area.
So if you're wearing a fanny pack.
Right. So if you're wearing
a fanny pack in the front, is that actually an appendix carry?
Oh, that's a good question.
That's a really good question.
Well, I'm curious.
And if you wear it in the back, is it called small the back carry?
I know because I've seen them recently. I've seen that they make ballistic plates for backpacks. Do they make ballistic plates for fanny packs? That's what I want to know.
No, well, then we'd have to get into your Latin discussion of Gutimus Maximus.
You know, bringing up the fanny pack actually brings up a pretty good holster question. Because my wife, when she started carrying, was using a purse. And we have since gotten away from that because carrying a purse with a firearm in it kind of adds an extra step that you have to do for everything, including awareness. That fanny pack is kind of an extra step, even though it's more convenient to maybe carry something large. I'm against it because I think it's just that much more to go wrong in any kind of situation. A zipper gets stuck or Velcro be too loud. I mean, that's kind of a one of those issues that I look at.
I think that in a zipper getting stuck, I could see. And my wife carries in a she's got a concealed carry purse. So strung over her left shoulder, it's pretty easy access. As far as making noise, I don't know that I agree with that, because I think in a situation to where you have to pull it, I don't know if noise is.
Yeah, it's probably not going to be quiet.
Going to be that big of an issue, honestly.
Yeah, people are probably freaking out and screaming anyways.
If you're
in concealment and you're worried about making noise, that you're in some pretty deep weeds.
Yeah, I would think so.
I mean, it was just a thought, like hypothetical. I mean, because really, the whole fanny pack thing, it's not 1993 anymore. So if you're wearing a fanny pack, I'm immediately picking you out in the crowd, and I know that you have something in that fanny pack, be it probably some kind of amphetamine, or you're carrying something else. So,
well, and you also understand that even in 1993, they weren't really cool. So
either that, or someone is expecting you to pull out a large bottle of sunscreen.
Every place I have ever been where people were wearing fanny packs, it was always a foreign country, and they were the American tourists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now,
we just lost everyone.
Mine ain't threw it up into the. Did we?
Yeah.
Yeah, they all.
Said, oh, everybody on mobile probably got KO'd.
They got NSA.
Yeah, looks like. No, Fine Ape, you threw out there in the chat about the, you said about the Boulder holster, but those are not a bad option. I mean, I think a lady would need to be blessed up top in order to pull that off. I don't think if you're a cup or less that it would serve you very well to try to carry, let's say, a, I don't know, 500 Smith & Wesson Magnum, but if they
really want to commit to it, you could always get one of those false pregnancy stomachs and probably could fit a broken down AR pistol in it.
You know, I didn't think about that, but yeah.
James Addiction going on, being caught stealing?
Yeah. Yeah, if you really wanted to get serious, I guess you could hollow that thing out and yeah.
You can put a AR pistol inside that bad boy.
That's what I'm talking about. 3 or 4 magazines, you'd be hell good to go.
You got your little arsenal with you. My everyday carries a CZ Scorpion. Really? I also am pregnant for the last 5 straight years.
Right. You would, you'd get some funny looks eventually.
Well.
That reminds me of a Gun Channels member who used to get on the chats. He's colloquially known, named Mr. 410, because he would go on and on about, you know, the 410 round, you know, shotgun round. And he said everywhere he went, he brought an EV, his Scorpion Evo in his backpack, as well as, you know, he was always wearing plate armor. And I'm like, really? Seriously, what the hell?
Did he live in Lebanon?
No, he lived in, I think he lived in Miami. That's close though, right?
Now there's a reason that the crazy Scotsman is crazy, because he says his everyday carry is a Marlin 1894 44 mag.
I think G-Wes could probably get away with carrying a rifle, because it'd be, you know, he's so damn tall.
Oh yeah, yeah, and you know, like an 18-incher.
Yeah. I'm vertically challenged, so I don't have that option.
Yeah, no kidding. That's why I like SBRs and stuff so well.
Right.
They make me feel like a giant.
What about a mare's leg 44 mag?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be okay. They actually make, don't they make scabbard style, you know, holsters for those?
Yeah. They make like what was it? Wanted, Dead or Alive, whatever that old Western was.
It's like a breakaway. You ever like a breakaway style holster.
You guys ever shoot one of those?
I have. I've shot. I don't know that I ever shot the 44 Magnum. I know I've shot the 357.
Yeah, I'm a proud owner of the mare's leg. And the freaking things, when you jack them, half the time the freaking round on the top just flies right out. It doesn't even chamber up. So, man, that would be the last gun I would ever carry down my pants leg.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you just mean, the whole working a lever without a stock to put on your shoulder, and I just find the whole operation of a mare's leg, I guess, the one that I have played with, it just was clunky feeling, because I'm used to shouldering that lever, shouldering the buttstock and then working the lever, you know, as I'm firing, and you've got that pressure back against your shoulder to kind of steady everything. You have to kind of pull it down. It's kind of hard to hold it on target and fire at the same time.
Well, Clover, that's because you're not riding a Harley in downtown Los Angeles trying to save John Connor.
Well,
those are shotguns. Shotguns. That's what those, a shockwave's for.
Those are shotguns. That's what I was going to say. But yeah,
same still thing. Still lever action.
That only happens in the movies, but whatever.
In the movies or Jerry Mikaluk videos?
I mean, do you know how much polishing and wear and stuff you'd have to put on that shotgun to be able to even do that in the first place?
Well, I think, they had to modify the one that Arnold used to do the flip turn.
Yeah.
The commentary, they reported that he broke his fingers by trying to do that flip on unmodified one.
Yeah, because they're so stiff. Same way with the rifleman, his. I mean, that was all modified. You don't take a rifle and slam fire it like that, just and it happened. So yes, 1%. I know I'm not Steve McQueen. I never claimed to be. So Scottsman said he's upgrading now. He's going with a Barrett 82.
Holy cow.
Gonna SBR that down to a little 10-inch barrel then?
There you go.
didn't somebody at some time come out with like a single shot or a double barrel or a something little Derringer?
It was like a PMG. I've seen pictures of one, whether or not real.
I've seen something like I'm sure somebody somewhere, some manufacturer somewhere has probably cut something down or built something like that, but unless it's locked in a vise or somewhere and I'm pulling it with the string, I don't think I'm going to shoot it.
There was one that was a 50 Beowulf made by a company out of Utah.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, but that's not a 50 BMG. I'd be okay. A 50 Beowulf, I'd about halfway be okay with it.
And I just don't think, would you really, though?
I mean, the Beowulf okay isn't. That?
I would shoot it. I would, it may not shoot it twice, but I would, I would definitely shoot it. I would be very, very hesitant to shoot any kind of a pistol with a freaking 50 BMG in it.
Yeah.
I know, is the Beowulf that far off the 500 Smith & Wesson?
I know what a 50 BMG does in a 40 pound rifle,
Exactly.
Moving experience.
I don't know about that too much, it'll almost the concussion and everything, just the pressure off of it will almost lift you off the ground. So
I'd do it.
I wonder if the gases from that explode a fish.
The gases? I don't know.
Would the gases explode a fish?
I don't know, but here, I got
to. Can you find a fish big enough to put over the muzzle brake?
We could try that. Now, listen, I just want to tell you that here's what I'd like to do. My 50 has a shark fin brake, right? So what I would like somebody to do is to donate, and they can ship it to me. I'll pay the shipping charges. If you live on the coast somewhere, and you can get me a shark, okay, that's big enough to the mouth of that shark to fit over my shark fin brake on my 50, then we will test the muzzle blast on that 50 and see how deadly it is to a shark.
Challenge accepted.
Shit, you don't need someone from the East Coast. Just get someone from the Gulf.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Wherever. I mean, anybody that I'm too far away to go catch.
Clover must not watch my channel and how many sharks I catch.
Chelsman, don't no offense, but I don't even watch your channel.
I'd like to see a jellyfish test.
Jellyfish pop. Yeah.
that would be pretty hard considering
maybe,
jellyfish.
Maybe we need to start giving out his link or something.
We really should.
Email and say, you know, if you want to see these, time. Then can go over here and request these. And
flood his email.
Yeah.
Because he might think of some of them are good ideas, and he'd actually do a couple of them. Guaranteed.
D-Temp, I don't know what D-Temp's saying out there. He says he saw a guy at the range shoot a 45-70 revolver. That was nuts.
45-70 revolver?
That's that BFG.
Yeah, Ruger BFG.
Wow. Oh, yeah, that's like carpal tunnel syndrome waiting to happen.
things like 10 pounds to begin with.
Holy cow.
As long as you got the weight, I mean, you would be.
I think something Clover would love.
No. I had a 45-70 carbine, and that thing was freaking brutal. Every time I fired it, I could hear my shoulder click.
I would fire it. I haven't ever shot a 45-70 revolver, but I would shoot a 45-70 revolver. I don't think I would be.
Well, I bet
think,
you Yankees got one.
There's one revolver I want that it's made in Europe. It's called the Pfeiffer Zaliska. It shoots 600 Nitro Express.
Oh, there you go.
Yes, it is a ridiculous revolver, but. Let's be honest. If you're gonna go large caliber revolver, why the hell not 600 Nitro?
I can think of a lot of reasons. You're being attacked by a small water buffalo. Is that what that's all about?
A small water buffalo, a rhino, an elephant. You take your pick.
Wow. 600 Latro.
We need to ask Yankee if he has one of those.
He's not too big into the big bore stuff, is he?
No, he's not. No.
He doesn't. No. I don't ever hardly.
He's got his 500s, but that might just be because he likes collecting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never get to really talk about him a whole lot, though, you know?
It's because he moisturizes.
He moisturizes.
This is true.
He also changes his manicure. He gets distracted.
Yeah, that messes up his manicure.
He changes grips out and stuff like that, too, and I know. When you're shooting big bores, I know that I've got a Taurus in 44 Magnum, and I've got to find some more grips for that thing because those factory Taurus grips suck.
Is it one of the trackers?
They're rubber, and it's like a I don't even know how to.
Yeah, it's they're rubber.
But it's like
basically like segmented little, on the front.
It's got these little rubber ridges all through it, Ruffles and those awesome. Those ridges. Those ridges pinch you when it fires because of all the vibration. You? Yeah, they pinch you. It's messed up. It's firing it is fine. That's not a problem. I mean, it's just a 44 mag. It's not a big deal, but it's like you've got something that pinches your hand when it goes off. It's crazy.
The first thing I did with my Raging Bull is take those off and then put on the wood grips because I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah. Well, Grand out there, he's talking about a Shiloh Sharps 45-70. Yes, those are very sweet. And I don't know what Scotchman's asking. He says, what model and what need? I'll see what I can do. I don't know what you're talking about, Scotchman.
Yeah, I had.
Understand. Yeah. Nate knows what I'm talking about. He said those weird finned rubber tar scripts are atrocious. So he knows what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Fine Apes got him up right now.
Oh, does he?
That's why I like the Packmeyers. I have a set of 44 mags that I use for bear hunting. And yep, I had to take the rubber. I had to take the wooden grips off and put Packmeyers on them because the wooden grips were like sandpaper. They just tore the shit out of your hands.
Yeah. Yep. Tried wearing green to avoid the pinch. Yeah, I mean you could wear gloves. Be okay. But I don't like shooting in gloves. Ed Patriot, what is this? Have we heard about the net neutrality thing? Really? Really?
I don't want to get
sorry, we need to have at least two members of that particular Trinity in here, and we've
We avoided that subject last night, and I'm going to tell you, we're going to avoid that subject again. Moving on.
I'm not getting into that one again.
Uh-uh. That track says, I don't.
New topic. Move on.
I'm Switzerland. I'm net neutral.
Right. I'm telling you. Neutral and everything. So, yeah.
I made the mistake of getting into that argument last time. Never again.
Yeah. Yep. No, moving on. The new TAR scripts are better. Yeah. If the ones I've seen, the new TAR stuff, is any indication. So, Scotsman asked, what grips am I looking for? That's a TARS tracker in 44. Scotsman, that's what I'm talking about.
Five shot, I believe, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, because it's the same, or all the trackers are built on the same frame.
Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, I just had them. I've got a, like I said, I've got that 4-inch, and then I've got a, I got a Red Hawk, and what is that Red Hawk? I think it's a 6-inch, and if I'm shooting 44, I don't know. The Red Hawk is a lot more fun to shoot, so I'm usually shooting it anyway.
A lot funner with the 2-inch barrel.
Now, how the heck did we get into grips? We went from holsters into grips for some reason, guys. What happened?
Well, they're both firearms accessories.
We went off the rails sometimes. But
you can't have one without the other. So
I guess so.
Well, you know, you get a nice new holster. You take a look at those shoddy old grips, and you think, man, I need something nicer.
That's true because, you know, sometimes you pick a holster based on the look, you know. And, yeah, what if you have this really nice holster and then you got some old beat up, crappy, whatever, worn down rubber
plasticky grips.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you got to have some nice wood or maybe laminate grips or something that really go with the holster. So, yeah, sometimes you have to accessorize and everything has to match. So that is definitely a possibility. Speaking of grips, yeah, there's a place that I bought quite a few grips from called Tillander Grips. I'd have to get find a link for them. This guy can do all kinds of stuff with grips. I bought quite a few from these guys. It's really, especially if you're looking for anything custom, he can do some really wild colors and different things. Hopefully that link works. Tillander Grip. Yes, he is. That's where I've got my Taurus Protector Poly has zombie green grips, and that's where they.
Zombie.
That's where they come from. Zombie green, and he can duplicate factory grips. So I mean, if you like, I think he may have a 3D printer, a 3D modeling and a 3D printer set up or something. But
either that or yeah, he, molds.
Yeah, he does the grips that are on my Taurus. They've even got the little Taurus emblem and all that down there in the corner. I mean, so it's even that detailed of a copy. He does pretty good work. So, now Hemi says when you're carrying a Rhino, you're pretty limited on accessories. I would believe that. I really would. Revolver out there, he says his Ruger SP-101 plus Badger grips is beauty for six. So, let me tell you, I like the Ruger SP-101 factory grips. I think are really nice compared to a lot of things out there.
All right, let me ask you something. No. I've been thinking of getting one of those EAA Windicators in 357.
Uh huh.
What have you guys heard about those?
Get the German one, not the Turkish.
No, the EAA Windicator. That's the Y-Rock revolvers.
Yeah.
Yeah, some are made in Germany, then some are made in Turkey.
I haven't ever had a problem. I've got a few EAA. I don't have a revolver. in the AA. I've actually looked at some of the what is the single action that they sell, the EAA single action?
Bounty Hunter.
Bounty Hunter, yeah. I've looked into the Bounty Hunter before. I mean, it's just as good as, Heritage makes some big bore stuff, and any of the other low-end, big bore single actions. Quality seems to be just as good. Yeah, Pant says EAA is just an importer. Yeah. Yep. But yeah, I don't think you would be disappointed.
I've seen one of the compacts for like $296, so I was thinking maybe just, getting one and trying it out.
Yeah, there may be several for, that's $300. For $300, there may be several other options to go. So it just depends on what you want to.
In 357?
Yeah, quite possibly. Well, maybe not in new. Okay. Maybe not in a new revolver.
If I'm gonna buy one, I want a new one first.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Doesn't Taurus make one for pretty cheap?
I don't want Taurus.
But he'll take a cheap,
new or good. Choose two.
He doesn't want a Taurus. He says, I don't want a Taurus.
What about a Rossi?
But he's talking about an EAA.
Yeah.
Let that sink in now for just a minute.
Well, the reason is I'm not getting paid to, push Taurus. So.
Well, nobody said you had to push Taurus. Well,
Taurus are perfectly fine and decent guns.
Yeah.
I like my 608.
I wouldn't be opposed to a Rossi.
Rossi is a Taurus.
Rossi and Taurus are the same company.
Oh, I think it was
the same thing.
Yeah. Somebody mentioned Rossi, so I was like,
yeah.
Well, if you don't want a Taurus, just get a Rossi.
Yeah, there you go. There we go.
Yeah, Nate out there. He says he trusts a Taurus more than an EAA. Emmy says anything's better than a Charger Arms. Let me tell my Charger. I own a Charger Arms.
How are you still breathing?
I own a Charger Arms Bulldog. It's an older model.
He didn't say he shoots it. He just says he owns it.
I've actually shot it. It's a 44 Special. It's a little snub nose 44 Special. I've had it for quite a few years. It's an old model. I don't know. It's early 80s, probably at the newest or something. I think anyway.
Clover, that's the one that has like no sights or anything on it, right? Like it's completely.
No, that's a new one they came out with like 2 years ago.
No, this one's got like a. I just got. What am I talking about? The. It's just cut into the receiver. The.
Notch sight.
Gutter sight. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, it's just gutter sights and then a front blade. But I haven't shot it much, but it was fine. I mean, everything was all tight, and I haven't had an issue. Like I said, it's just 44 Special. It's not a 44 Magnum, anything big, huge like that. I don't know that I would necessarily trust a Magnum caliber in a Charger Arms, to be honest with you. But I'm sure there are people out there that probably shoot them on a regular basis and don't have any trouble, so. All right. Well, cool. I think we have hammered down the holster issue. So let's put up the chairs, sweep the floors, lock the doors, and call it an evening. We'll run through the room real quick. See if anybody has anything to plug. Nice track.
Intermiss Tuesday nights, 9 o'clock.
Of course. Knew that was coming. Budget Guns.
Just want to say thanks again for inviting me. I had a lot of fun doing it.
You're welcome anytime. Jelsma.
Yeah, let's catch some sharks on the next trip of Jelsma Outdoors and do some shark pops, possibly jellyfish pops.
I'm in.
Okay, I'm in for the jellyfish props.
Yeah, just check out the channel. Glad to be here and having fun talking about the fat fold holster. So
there you go.
I love it.
Almost as bad as having to wear suspenders. No. G snuck in on us. You got anything to plug, G?
Freedom and individual liberty. We live in an awesome time to live.
There you go. Ghost.
Yeah, thanks for the invite. Check out my channel, Ghost Tactical. I've got some really cool videos. Clover and I both have a lot of videos from Wanamaker and from Jam Davis that are out and coming out. So check that out. And thanks again for having me.
Bet. Absolutely. Bye, Nate.
Well, thanks for having me. You can check out some of my videos on YouTube, but all my new stuff is going directly over to VidMe.
Okay. All right. Well,
I hear Night Strike not going off of YouTube and going just to VidMe also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
All
All of my video stuff, I'm going to do that. All the live streaming stuff is going to stay on YouTube because it's the only thing to use right now. So, but I'm just going to upload my stuff on VidMe from now on.
Does that mean you're actually going to, are you going to start producing more videos? Which is good. I'm not being a smartass. I mean, are you going to do more videos?
Yeah. I've done a couple already, so what I'll probably do is just take a table out in the backyard, just turn the laptop on and live stream it, and just, you know, do what Braden did, but, you know, actually have an AK and an AR-15 with a bumpfire stock. I'm like, Braden.
There you go.
Wow. I mean, if you're going to go full retard, you have to have the stock, right?
Right. There you go. Cycle.
Hey. Hit or miss, Tuesday nights. Sometime around 9 o'clock.
Unless it's a miss.
I blame Ghost Tactical for that.
No, that's true. And Ghost, the gobble the other day was not a call. That was actually just me.
Wow. I know it was.
That's pretty good.
It was so good that it sounded like it could be a call.
Good. You're gonna have to hire him as a guide to go turkey hunting.
Do the slates and the mouth calls and all that shit long enough, you figure out what it sounds like. Hey, tune in either on YouTube, VidMe, or Gun Channels, and check out the Tulsa Guns firing where I shoot the three guns that I got at Tulsa. It really came out very well. I was very happy with it. And thanks a lot for inviting me. I really appreciate it.
You bet, man. Anytime. And, yeah. Thanks to everybody who dropped in on the panel out there in the audience. We still got plenty of you guys hanging on. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to drop a link for the Gun Channel lobby over there for you guys. I don't see Edge anywhere. Usually Edge has come in. Two live moves coming in late. I gave you your shout out earlier, buddy. But coming in late, you missed it. So, yeah, watch the replay, at least the first 5 minutes or so. But yeah, there's the link for the Gun Channel lobby. I'm sure somebody would be firing up one of those. So get over there, jump in, and just continue the conversation. I mean, just because one show ends doesn't mean that the conversation has to stop. That's what it's all about over there on Gun Channels. That's it for us, guys. A late happy Thanksgiving to everybody. I hope that you enjoy the rest of your Black Friday and your Small Business Saturday and your Cyber Monday, and you have a good weekend. And hopefully get to the range if you haven't already. Spend a little time with friends and family. Relax. We'll see you next week. Bye.